Good evening, everybody. I hope we've had a great week in the different places where we are despite the lockdown. I promised I was going to do an audio clip of the question and answer series we've been having in our midweek Bible studies. The topic has been the giftings of the Spirit, or the Spirit's giftings. And in the 2 weeks, two Wednesdays that we've had these studies, we've had a number of questions. The questions were answered on WhatsApp, but I said I'd try and do an audio clip of those questions with the corresponding answers, so people who probably can't go back to read all of those chats can just listen and learn a thing or two. From the very first week into the second week, I'll just merge all the questions together and then answer them as they were answered originally. So the first question was, so can I have a gift and be functioning in another place? The example that was given by the asker of this question is of someone with the gift of teaching serving as a music minister. And the answer is a simple yes. The truth is that many of the gifts, as we find them described for us in scripture, can be properly utilized in different roles. Don't forget, the gift is not the role, the gift is not the title, the gift is an ability that the Spirit of God bestows on you, and so it can be used in different roles. Nevertheless, it is important to point out that as much as possible, we should play roles that help us best function in our gifts. And so if we had, like in the example that was given, if we had someone who has a gift of teaching but is then serving as a music minister, I would expect that that kind of person will still utilize the gift of teaching as he or she plays that role of a music minister. And in fact, sometimes the person may need to seek other avenues that allow for the expression of that gift. I know I've given this example in church before. If you have a teaching gift, for example, and your local assembly does not give you a platform to teach, you know, that would be ideal, but there are scenarios in which the local assembly doesn't give you a platform to teach. I can think of myself while I was doing my house job, or while I was serving. I did house job in Edo Ekiti. I'd served as a pastor in the campus fellowship for some years, and I'd recognized that I had a teaching gift. But the church I was attending in Edo Ekiti, there was no opportunity or platform to teach, right? When I was serving, the same thing. So if the local assembly in which you are doesn't give you a platform to teach, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't exercise that gift. In fact, the exercise of your gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit, is not restricted to just within the local assembly. That's something we need to recognize. For instance, there are people who I relate with, and in my relationship with them, I still get to function in the gift of teaching. For example, people that I meet in my place of work, and several other people that have become my friends, colleagues, and in different fora, I'm still able to exercise that gift of teaching. And so don't just wait for an avenue in your local assembly. But the other thing I should also mention is that many times we actually discover or properly identify our gifts as we make ourselves available in service to others within the context of a local assembly or in the fellowship of the saints. Again, if I use myself as an example, I did not realize I had a teaching gift immediately I got born again. For those who even know me well, speaking in private or in public is not my natural gift. And if you were to ask me, my natural personality would be to stay in the background and not even play any prominent role. That's the truth. So initially, after I got saved, I started singing in a choir. And this was even after I joined I got into university. Later, I joined the technical crew because they needed my muscles. And it was while serving both in the choir and the technical crew back then that I then realized that I had a teaching gift. And that's the way it is. You make yourself available, and as you make yourself available and continue to walk in the context of a gathered community or the fellowship of the saints, you then begin to realize bit by bit. We'll talk more about discovering our gifts later in the series. The next question was, these giftings are not a result of training or upbringing. However, on identifying the gift, is training required for effectiveness? The asker of the question mentioned Samuel as being on his mind, in the sense that Samuel was guided by Eli to recognize God speaking. And he gave a contemporary example. Can one, someone with a gift of prophecy, need to get training to be the best at it? And the answer to this question is another big yes. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writing to Timothy said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." That phrase, "stir up," means to kindle up, to inflame, to fan into flames. And the point is that when the gifts are not used, they can remain dormant. Or we also use the term latency, where it's almost as if it is not there. And I think that there are many Christians who are in this category, because they don't even recognize that there is such a thing as the giftings of the Spirit. And so they have the gift, but it's just dormant, it's latent. And it's as if they don't even have any gift at all. On the other hand as well, these gifts can be wrongly used without guidance or training. And when that happens, they can cause a lot of havoc and misery. And the example that was given in the question is, in fact, the most abused, and that is prophecy. The many people in contemporary Christianity with the gift of prophecy, and they have not been well trained. And so they say and they do all sorts of things. I believe that many of these people truly have a gift of prophecy, but because they are poorly trained, the results are disastrous. And I mentioned some of the prophecies that have been going out regarding this coronavirus pandemic and all of that. I know that, naturally speaking, people who are gifted and talented sometimes feel that they don't need as much training and discipline as others. So in some scenarios, you find footballers or sportsmen who have more natural talent than others, but because they've not been properly trained, they don't make the best of their careers. In the same way too, you find out that people in Christianity, people who feel that they have more prominent gifts, actually feel that they don't need to be trained. And so you find people with the gift of prophecy who don't want to study the Bible, who don't want to study the Word of God, who don't want to listen to anybody, but they go off on a tangent of, "I'm a prophet." And it's really very disastrous. See, now across board, no matter what gift you are, it's important that you get trained, notwithstanding the gift that you have or that you've identified that the Lord has given to you. If I use myself as an example, I'm not the same teacher that I was in the university. I'm not even the same teacher that I was when I became a pastor in TGC some years back. I've learned to be a better teacher, and I'm consistently learning and training to be better at teaching specifically. And so no matter your gift, you still need to get trained. The third question we had on the issue of that first week: could the gift possessed by a new covenant, by a new convert, be an indication of God's gift? The example is someone who is a very good, effective, and efficient at teaching in the secular world, most likely to have a gift of teaching. Let me take that again. Could the gift possessed by a new convert be an indication of God's gift? And I guess in this case, he's saying a natural talent that a person has before they get saved, could it be an indication of God's gift? And the instance or the example given is someone who's a good, effective, and efficient teacher in secular world. Will this person most likely have the gift of teaching? And the answer is that it doesn't have a straight yes or no answer. See, the gifts, the spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit, are given sovereignly by God in accordance with His plan for the individual. So if God's plan for this person, this example that we've given, is to function in a communicative role, then teaching may as well be the person's gift. But see, there's a difference between the natural ability to talk and teaching as a gift of the Spirit. And we would explain, I think by next week, we'll probably move from, we took apostleship this week. Next week, if we have time, we'll do prophecy and teaching. And so we'll see. But it's not really the same thing. I mean, the natural ability to talk, oratory, and the gift of the Spirit of teaching are two different things. But it's important to know that sometimes God calls people into roles that are very distant from what they were used to before they got saved. But some of the times, God uses elements of our experience, our past training before we got saved, and other things in our lives, including the gifts that He gives us by the Spirit in assigning to us life missions. And again, later on in the series, we will discuss in details all these things. Then we had some questions as well from the apostleship class. The first was, are all founders apostles? If not, how do we differentiate? And I batched it up with the question of, are all missionaries apostles? And this was my answer. The focus of this series is not to label people. No, not at all. The focus of the series is to describe the gift as we see in Scripture and to see how it functions, so that people can identify what they feel or what they sense or what they see as a gift that God has given to them, and then they can start to function in them. That's really, really the focus. But then it's important for us not to forget that some of us will have more than one gift. Paul, for example, obviously was an apostle. He obviously had the gift of teaching. In Acts chapter 13, he's mentioned amongst the prophets. You know, so Paul had prophecy, apostleship, teaching, pastoring. He had these gifts. So we also need to think about that. Now, this particular question that you've asked me, are all founders apostles and are all missionaries apostles? I can't give a categorical yes. Because from the outside, externally, we can't always determine with validity the extent of someone's gift, someone else's gift. And so we need to recognize that some founders of churches, ministries, are not even true believers. While some are true believers, but have not received any specific direction from the Lord to go into those specific ministries. And it's the same thing for missionaries. in quite a number of settings, specific ministries are handed down from generation to generation. But it's important to ask, for example, I have two daughters. Now I'm a pastor at the Grace Community Church. Does it then mean that necessarily the spiritual gift that Narasimhe Amodesere will be given by God will be teaching and pastoring? Not necessarily. And so we shouldn't just assume that because of the things that people do, that necessarily then tells us what gift they have, right? However, generally, genuinely inspired people who take such steps of going into missions or founding churches would usually have the gift of apostleship. That's what would actually have inspired them to go ahead to take such steps. Final question. Is it necessary for an apostle in our contemporary society to be migratory in his ministry, like an itinerant ministry? Or can one be an apostle just to a particular assembly or location? And here, I just had to introduce this concept that we hear many times. It's something we'll probably hear about next week again. People talk about an apostle to the nations or a prophet to the nations and some other strange things that we don't really find in scripture, in the New Testament. There are many people who say that a genuine apostle will not remain in just one location, but that the mark of an apostle is supposed to be the care for many local churches or many local assemblies. But again, if you look critically at scripture, these thoughts and ideas cannot be substantiated from the New Testament. Some people will have multiple gifts, like I described. Paul was an example. And so, apart from the fact that Paul served as an apostle, or he had the gift of apostleship, he also had the gift of teaching and pastoring. And in fact, in some of the places, some of the churches, he stayed back to pastor some of those churches. And there were times he had to leave, but he still had concern and care for those churches, which was what made him go back to visit them. Not only to visit them, but many times to write back to them in those epistles, finding out, trying to find out how they were doing, and also writing to answer their questions or to bring order and stability to the churches. But I also use Reverend Francis as an example. I said that I believe he has the gift of apostleship, but also to anybody who knows Reverend Francis, you will know that he has the gift of pastoring. And so Reverend Francis is the kind of person who would not just start off a church, but he would have such great care and concern for the flock. And it's the same thing for Paul, right? However, it's important to know that the exercise or use of our gifts is always within the context of God's specific directions for our lives. And God will always give us specific directions that will make the best use of our gifts. After all, He gave us the gift for His work. And so it all works glove in hand. Sometimes it's a gradual unveiling that the Lord does, but eventually we then understand His plan, and then we see that He has been directing us all along. And I gave the example of Reverend Francis. Many years ago at a GNED camp, way back, there was a word during one of the sessions about him being sent forth for some work. It was almost like what happened in Acts chapter 13. But it was many years after that eventually the door of ministry was opened for him to go to East Africa. Now, it wasn't at the point when he went to East Africa that God gave him the gift, or God had the plan. God had revealed it already. But it was now many years after that we could see it coming to pass. So God works his will and works out his purpose for our lives, giving us the right gifts, the right resources, and making a way for us to use those gifts for his work, just as he enables us and he calls us. So please keep these questions coming. Continue to answer them as they come to the best of our knowledge. And I look forward to much greater times as we fellowship together, even in this lockdown. Enjoy your evening.